Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this evening to John chapter 3, verse 16. As we do, I'll open this lesson up. And let's read this eternal truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Who are they believing in? Believing in what? The name. Thank you for that. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The only begotten Son of God. So we're continuing on the name of Jesus and discussing this, looking at the scriptures. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. Let's look at that for a moment. We're in John. Let's look at John 14. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Let's read that together. When you get there, say amen. Hallelujah. Let's read that. It says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And of course, we've been sharing. Let's look at John chapter 16, and let's look at verses 23 and 24. This is not prayer. In John 16, 23, it says, And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, or you could say up until now, have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And you can look this up. I've mentioned it before in the Strong's Concordance. It says the Greek word there for ask is to demand something due. So that means that if you can demand something due, that means what? It what? There you go. Say that again. Thank you. Let's say that. It belongs to me. If you have an account and you have something that you say is due you, then that money or that privilege is due you because you own it. If I signed a contract for insurance, then I have insurance that's due me, correct? I have a right to that privilege or that service. Amen. So this was what Brother Hagin had shared in some of his writings when he was alive. He said a Greek scholar had said to him, the Greek literally says, whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. He's saying that's how it reads in the Greek. When you read that scripture in John, it says, whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. So when I ask, I'm demanding something that's my right and privilege. I'm not demanding something of God. I'm not demanding him to do anything. But I'm demanding something that's been given to me as a right and a privilege. Amen? I know we maybe seem like this is going over and over, but there's a purpose for this. Just keep listening to the Word of God. Keep sharing it. And it dawns on our spirit. It dawns on our heart. Amen. Tonight, I want to look at, I've entitled this, Bearing Fruit in the Name. I know Minister Dolores was sharing this morning, and I was like, hey, he's teaching my lesson. And the same scriptures. Wait a minute here. So if you were here this morning, you get to dip twice. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And, you know, just as a reminder, if you haven't purchased these books that we're referencing from and using as study materials, E.W. Kenyon, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, that's in paperback. It is not electronic, so you can't download that. But the other book by Kenneth E. Hagin, The Father, The Name of Jesus, that is an electronic ebook. You can download that. And Kenneth W. Hagin, Jesus, the Name Above All Names. And then also this little mini book by Kenneth E. Hagin, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Good material to feed upon. Did you get to 2 Corinthians 5:17? All right. Now, something we've shared in past lessons, that as you spend time in the epistles, primarily the epistles, you will see expressions, let's say that is say, in him, by whom, in Christ. And so these are written to us. This tells us who we are, what we are, and what we have in Christ. And it's our position as a believer. So those scriptures are important. Not that reading other parts of the Bible are not, but what is, you know, if we're going to bear fruit, we better find out who we are and what we have access to, shouldn't we? So it doesn't diminish reading other scriptures, but we better find out, and as Brother Hagin said when he was alive, he spent most of his time in the epistles. He studied the Bible, but he spent most of his time meditating in the epistles so that that would become so strong in him of who he was in Christ, what he had access to, and who he was, you see. And the more you meditate upon that, the more that rises up and becomes real to you. And so we need to meditate on that. And that begins to show our legal standing in Christ. That shows what our legal standing is. And think about that when the scripture says that this word is forever settled in heaven. It's eternal. That means your position as a believer is what? It's forever settled. If he said he did it, when I believe him, that's it. It's settled. Amen. Glory to God. So when Jesus gave the church the right to use his name, he authorized us, I'm making this point here, he authorized us to be his representatives in the earth. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But we're here in this earth. And so we are here as his representatives in this earth. And as we were sharing this morning, to do what? Bear fruit. Amen. So I know I asked you, let's get to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means when you're in Christ, you're brand new. Something's changed in you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm reading from the King James. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, or to us, the what? The ministry of reconciliation. So he's conferring upon us, he's giving us a charge here. He's saying he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm now his representative here in this earth. And it continues, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and what? And hath what? Committed unto who? Us. So he's now committing us. He's telling us, I've committed this unto you, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives. When are we? Right now. Right now, we're his ambassadors. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let me read this in the New Century Version. I like this. It says, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have gone, everything is made new. All this is from God. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself, and God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. He's given us the work to do that. God was in Christ, making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sins. He gave us this message and peace. Now, this is verse 20. I like this. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. I like the way it says that. We have been sent where? In this earth. To speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. We are his representatives. We are his mouthpiece. We are his ambassadors in this earth. We are speaking for Christ in this earth, in his name. Amen. We're going in his name and speaking for him. So here, because we are in Christ, we have identified with him. We are now, what? A believer. We've identified with him. Because we have identified with him, we are now his representatives in this earth. Because we've identified with him, we are now his representatives in this earth. We have been born into righteousness. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. This may seem foundational, but it's important as a foundation here. Now, we're going over some scriptures that you may already know, but I'm putting it together in this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. It says, but of him, what are we talking about? We're talking about Christ here. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we have been born into righteousness. We are righteous. Just like, and I'm going to make this point, just like you were born a male or a female. Because you were born a male, you can't become any more male. You are a male. Just like you cannot become any more female because you were born a female. Because you were born righteous in Christ, you cannot become any more righteous. You are righteous. You've been born into righteousness. In Him, you've been made righteous. Hallelujah. You are His righteousness, I believe the scripture says. And so when we go forth, we are His representatives, righteous, redeemed, sanctified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope that makes sense. So in the name of Jesus, you were born righteous. So you are righteous, what? In Him. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse. Let's look at a scripture here that supports this again, what we just shared. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse 14. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Now, we just said, He in Him and by Him, you've been made righteous. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look how it starts in verse 14. Be ye. Now, let me stop just right there. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So ye is what? Ye is you, but ye is what? Say it again. Righteous. Ye is righteous. When it says be ye, that's a believer. He's talking to believers. So he's saying here, be ye, I put in my notes, be ye believer, not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness? So he's calling the believer righteousness. He's saying, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So right here, the Apostle Paul, by revelation, is saying the believer is righteousness. What have we do with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He's calling the believer light. He's calling the unbeliever darkness. Now look at this. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? So now he's calling the believer Christ. We are what? The body of Christ. So the believer is called Christ. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So here's the point. The believer is called righteousness. The unbeliever is called unrighteousness. The next statement says, and what concord hath Christ with the Belial? The believer is called Christ. We have identified with Him. The church is called believers. The church is called righteousness. The church is called light. The church is called Christ. That's who we are. We were given the right to use Jesus' name and to act on His behalf in this earth. We've been called by His name and been given that name to act on His behalf. That's the point here in all of this. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 20. Galatians Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to read this in the New Century Version because it helps us to focus in on not what we think. Sometimes we go through things, but what the Scripture says. I like what this says. You know, so often we read books that said, when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. When he overcame death, I overcame death in him. When he overcame sickness, I overcame sickness in him. Now listen to this in the New Century Version. I was put to death on the cross with Christ. And I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to save me. Now listen to this in the Complete Jewish Bible. I like this. When the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, I was too. Oh boy, that just puts it right there at home. When he was executed at the stake on the cross, so was I. When he was raised from the dead, justified, so was I with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this continues, so that my proud ego no longer lives, but the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in my body, I live by the same trusting faithfulness that the Son of God had. That's something I tell you, I had to stop and think about that. Do I live by that same trusting faithfulness that Jesus had in the Father? Do I? Because I'm going to jump to another scripture. Go to 1 John chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse 16 and 17. It says, 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. This is the same trusting faithfulness. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we're to have the same trusting faithfulness that the Son of God had when he was on this earth in his Father. Because as he is, so are we in this earth, in this world. Amen. And this word, I just took a time to look at this. It says, he that dwelleth in love. That word dwelleth means to tarry, not to depart from. So our love is made perfect. How? It's when it says up here that God is love and he that dwelleth in love. So that means that you tarry, that means you continue in. So when we continue in love and we tarry there, our love is made perfect. Amen. Glory to God. So because we've identified with Christ, and as he is, so are we in this world. There's a scripture verse that came to mind when Jesus was on this earth. He said something when they said, well, where are you? He said, I must be about my Father's business. And because we've identified with Christ, we should be saying the same thing. I must be about my Father's business. Amen. Now let's turn to John. This is let's go over to John 15 here. We were reading this morning. And let's look at, because we're looking and focusing in on, we looked at how are we to be in this world. We're to be as He is. And let's look at John 15. It says, I am the true vine. This is starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it does what? Abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye what? Abide in me. Amen. And that's pretty much what we just got done reading over here, where it said, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So we have to abide in him. I am the vine, this is verse 5, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you what? Bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we are Jesus's representatives here on the earth. And we are to do what? Bear much fruit. Now, because we are his representatives, we have certain authorization. What authorization is that? We have the authorization to use his name and to bear much fruit through our union with him. So we've been given the authorization to use his name and to bear much fruit. How? Through our union with Christ. That's what we're to do. And that's what we are to do. Now, let's go over, because let's look at Acts 10 and look at that. Acts 10, 38. We are to take his name and do what? As he is, so are we in this world. We are to take his name and do what he did in this world. What did he do? You can look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we're to point people to him and to introduce who? Them, the sinner, those who are oppressed. We're to introduce them to Jesus, our Savior, our deliverer, our healer, and our baptizer. That's who we're to introduce. Amen. We're his representatives. We are speaking on his behalf. We're his representatives and his ambassadors. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," talking about who here now? Excuse me? Right. Talking about Adam here. "Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? Gift of righteousness." Have we received that? Yes, we have. If you have, this scripture says, you shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I don't want to split hairs over songs, but we were singing that song, "You Shall Reign," before. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to split hairs over it, but the scripture here says that if we're in Christ, you shall reign. Sometimes we need to sing what the scriptures say. Nothing wrong, Jesus does reign. He does reign. But sometimes you got to tell people, you reign in him. Isn't that true? I'm not saying any song is unscriptural, but sometimes the focus needs to be where the scriptures are and say, in Christ you reign. And the people go, really, I do? Yes, you reign in Christ. And the Amplified says that we reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What are we reigning over? Circumstances, disease, sickness, sin, hatred, anything that's of the devil. That's what we're reigning over. Amen. And we are reigning in life, and we are to present that. Now, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm just going to just share this for a moment here. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. It says, "For this cause," I'm reading in the King James, "for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in what? All wisdom and understanding." Spiritual understanding, excuse me. Verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing," do being what? Here we go again. Being fruitful in every good work and also increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." He's made us able to be what? Partakers of this inheritance of the saints in light, in Christ, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." We are delivered. "And hath" what? "Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." I like this. This is the easy to read version. It says, "God made us free from the power of darkness." We are free. And we have a right to use the name of Jesus. Now, indulge me here for a moment. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for all you Bible students here. And let's take a look at these two great faith statements here. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm looking at too many ones in my book here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." It's the evidence of what? Okay. Let's look at verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me ask this question. Why do I exercise faith? I know that's a loaded question, but let me be a little more clear here. When I operate faith based on verse 1, it says, it's the evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen, correct? So do I operate in faith if I have something? Why would I? I already have it. So faith is something that I'm exercising because I don't have it yet, correct?
Yes.
Let me ask this question to you, because I've heard this. Do you need faith to use the name of Jesus? Why? Thank you. That's the revelation right there. That's the revelation. You've already been given the name. You have it. Why do you need faith to use it? It's already yours. It's like you've got money in the bank. It's yours to use. You don't need faith to use something that's yours. That's why Peter and John and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. He didn't need faith to use something he had. Let that marinate and sink in a little bit, because I'm going to tell you, it'll dawn on you. You have been given the right and the authorization to use the name. You don't have to go to God and believe God for authorization. It's yours. It's already yours. You've been called Christ. You've been called righteous. You've been called by his name, and you have the right to use it. So when some condition or circumstance comes in your life, that's why when it says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. I'm telling you, it's big in me. Because the next time you run up against something, that name is yours. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the name of Jesus. There's never a situation where you go, well, my faith didn't work because I'm using the name of Jesus. The name will work. It must respond. The circumstance must respond. It isn't your power. It isn't how you feel. It isn't whether you feel you had enough faith to use the name. It's not your power. All power is in the name. When I say it, it has to change something. That's why when I use that, not example, when I use that story, when the Lord directed me to minister to this young lady years ago, where there were demons involved. I didn't know it when I went. But after ministering to this young lady for about 6 months, I began to ask some questions because she was highly medicated. She was taking some crazy amount of meds just to keep her stable. And so I began to ask questions when I would go over. I'd say, you know, she began to talk a little bit and say, I see demons. They're in my room. They're by my bed. I see this. They're bothering me. And I began to talk and ask her and say, you know, did you ever get involved in witchcraft? No, my parents were. Okay, so I began to explore that. She was exposed to it. And so this was, as I shared, this was a very sad situation. And so I began to complain to the Lord, this was a waste of my time. I'm not going over there. This is, you know, whatever, whatever. And so finally, in a time of being quiet at home, the Holy Ghost, I heard his voice. He said, I want you to get up, use my name, and command those demons that are bothering her to cease and leave her. That's all he told me. I didn't get up and shout and scream and, you know, I didn't shout and scream and all of that kind of some things people do, right? I didn't do that. All I did was just get up, and I never heard anybody teach it to me. This was something that was just revelation. Well, of course, I know better now, but when you're young and you hear something, you don't know. All I did was get up. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, wicked spirits that are bothering this so-and-so person, I command you to leave her in the name of Jesus. That's all I did. Simple prayer. When I went to visit her the next week, I thought I went to the wrong apartment. It was so different. I'm talking about a person that would come to the door, you'd talk and you'd look in their eye and it was blank. You'd talk to the person and it was like talking to a zombie because they were zombied out on drugs. You'd get a little out of her when you talk. This person came to the door and was just like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, okay, who are you? I'm serious. She was that normal. And she said, I feel so great. She said, I've had the best week of my life. She said, I'm not taking these drugs anymore. She said, I feel so great. I don't see these demons anymore, and so forth and so on. It was that significant. And I'm telling you, the name of Jesus will put the devil on the run. I don't care what circumstance you're running up against. You use the name of Jesus, and it's not your faith in the name that makes it work. It's the name of Jesus and what's been conferred upon him that makes it work. He has been given the highest place in the universe, and when I use that name, when I use it, something has to change. In the name of Jesus. So let me ask this question again. Do you need faith to use the name of Jesus? Why? Because it's already yours. It's been given to you to use. Now, if you're believing God for something, then that's different. That's different. If I'm believing for healing or I'm believing for money, then I'm exercising my faith. I don't have it yet, but I have the name. It's mine to use, and I've been given the responsibility to use it in this earth as what? His representatives. Amen. Did you get something? Amen. Glory to God. I hope that's clear, because a lot of times when you're reading, and the reason I say that is because when you read E.W. Kenyon's book, and you're going to read, if you read Kenneth E. Hagin's book, it refers to that. It says you don't need faith to use the name, but it doesn't get into the why. So I'm just making it a little clear, if you read it. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation in your word. Thank you that there's an army rising up in the name of Jesus to go out and use your name in this day and age and to take back those things that the devil has stolen in people's lives, and to help them and to introduce them to this loving God that we serve. And we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.